Okay, so, we talked about one scheme of organizing the different types of dependent arising, the causal dependence, then dependent on its parts, which pertains also to permanent phenomena, and then the third one is dependent designation, and this means arising in dependence upon term and concept, yeah, which they also call existing by mere in mere name. Okay, and what this means is that something does not exist as a certain object until it is labeled by that name. And the classic example they give, which is very simple, is, you know, like you weren't named, you didn't become Dallas until you were, your parents labeled you Dallas. Okay, and the kitty didn't become Manjushri until we labeled him Manjushri. Okay, so the idea that those things don't exist as that particular object until they're labeled. You know, and they sometimes when you label something, it really changes the function of it. Sometimes it doesn't. For example, like after Obama was elected, okay, he wasn't the president. He was president-elect, you know, but he wasn't the president. And then there's a ceremony, and then suddenly we put the label president on, and then his whole role changes, and his identity changes, because now he's imbued with the power of the president. You know? Whereas other things, they may not change so much if they're given a name. You know, that's a good example. Well, I mean, between baby and Dallas, you know, when you were an infant, you know, or between cat and Achala, it doesn't change so much by giving the label. Another example of how things change a lot by giving the label is they talk about building a house, and these are in the days when I guess you didn't have a special kitchen and things like that, you know, plumbing in your kitchen. But something didn't become the kitchen until we conceptualized, oh, that building, that room is the kitchen, and then it became the kitchen. Okay. Whereas before that, it wasn't the kitchen, and it could have been something else. Okay. Or, you know, it's interesting, again, this whole thing, the label mine, yeah, that something, how much something changes as soon as we label it mine, and it's only a change of label, you know, in terms of the substantial cause of the object, in terms of, you know, how it arose and those kinds of things, that doesn't change at all. But as soon as we give it the label mine, wow, in our mind it's completely different, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, like night and day. So, you know, there's things like that where they actually change quite drastically. Then the question comes up, well, what about 500 years ago when they didn't know about cancer? Did cancer exist? Okay, so the question they always ask our teachers. Yeah, because they always say something doesn't exist unless it has a term and label. Well, you know, there wasn't a label cancer 500 years ago. Does that mean it doesn't exist? But how could that be? Because people still died from it, didn't they? Yeah. So the idea is, at that time, it wasn't known as cancer because it wasn't labeled as cancer, but it had another label. It was labeled, you know, disease or illness or something like that. And so people died from an illness, although they didn't necessarily die from cancer. Or people recovered from an illness, although they didn't necessarily recover from cancer, because that label wasn't there at that particular time. Okay, but there was another label there, so that the object, you know, still exists and still could function. And the Tibetans have a cute story regarding that, you know, because the question comes up kind of like our puzzle, you know, that if nobody's in the forest to hear the sound, is there really a sound? Mm-hmm. So their kind of thing is, if nobody is there to label the object, does it exist? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So their story is the story that somebody went to see a very high lama, and they were discussing about labels and things. And of course, the Tibetans, the way they did their architecture, had many pillars. And the lama at one point commented, "Gee, I'm sure glad that things don't have to be continuously labeled for them to exist. Otherwise, this pillar will vanish and the room will fall down on me." Yeah. So it isn't that you know, things just totally vanish if they're not being labeled. On the other hand, it doesn't mean that everything we label actually exists. Because we can label rabbit's horn, we can conceive of rabbit's horn. We certainly conceived of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and labeled them. But just because there's the term and concept doesn't mean that there's an object. Why? Because you need not only the term and concept, but you need a basis of designation that is suitable to bear that label, you know. And what was there in Iraq was not, there was nothing suitable to bear that label, you know. And with a rabbit's horn, the rabbits have ears, there's nothing suitable to bear the label rabbit's horn. So it doesn't mean that everything we label exists, you know. Just as we learn that everything we think doesn't exist either. Yeah.
Is this three types of different arising, is it held by all the four tenet schools?
This is three types of dependent arising held by all four tenet schools? No. Okay. They all hold the causal dependence is common to all of the different traditions. Okay. The other two are not really so common because especially in terms of parts referring to permanent phenomena, most of the schools, you know, for permanent phenomena, they say that they're merely labeled, you know, that they're just conceived of and then given a label. But for them, when they say that things are just conceived of and labeled, it's not the same as what the Prasangikas mean, mm-hmm. Okay? Because the lower schools would say, well, like, you know, non-obstructive space, yeah, that exists just because, you know, there's nothing there to label it space. You know, there's nothing there. So it exists by means of our own concept only, that's all. Yeah? Whereas, so they would say that's imputed by term and concept. Whereas they would look at the table or the glasses or the recorder or you and me, and they say these things, you know, are not merely imputed, we're merely negates inherent existence. Okay. But instead they would say they, like people, well, they would say that they all truly exist, okay? But with people, they would say people imputedly exist in the sense that to identify a person, you have to identify one of their aggregates. Yeah, you don't identify the person directly. You know it by means of the aggregate. So in that way, that is how they would say the person is labeled. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the Prasangika saying it's not just that you have to notice one of the aggregates. But, you know, there's nothing else there except, you know, your term and label, and that's the mere thing that exists. There's nothing in the basis that can be identified as the person. Mm-hmm. Whereas the lower schools always find something in the basis mm-hmm. of designation that they say is the person. Mm-hmm. It's either the mental consciousness, the continuity of mental consciousness, the Chittamatsu dream up this foundation consciousness, you know, because they all say there's got to be something that at the end of the day you can say is the person that carries the karmic seeds. Otherwise, how does karma get from one life to the next life? Whereas the Prasangikas say it's just the mere I. But when you try and identify within the aggregates, what is the mere I? There's nothing you can point to. So the word imputed is used in a lot of different ways according to different schools, and it can sometimes be a little confusing because they'll give different definitions to the word and they'll include and exclude different things as well.
Well, I was thinking that you gave an example of the sound in the forest.
Yeah.
And how the mind only had their solution for that.
Right.
It seems like I'm wondering then how they think of term and concept. It must be quite different from...
Yeah, it's quite different. But like with the sound in the forest, they would say, well, the ants and the deer heard the tree fall, yeah, because they had the seeds on their foundation consciousness for that to happen.
Just a quick clarification: you said that permanent phenomena don't rely on causes and conditions,
right?
Is there any phenomenon that doesn't rely on the other two types of dependent arising, or does every
all phenomena are composed of parts, dependent parts, and all phenomena from the Prasangika viewpoint depend on being labeled by term and concept. Yeah, and from the Prasangika and the old lower schools too, it's only the caused phenomena, the functioning things, that are dependent on causes.
Okay.
Causes and conditions.